Luke chapter 12, and we want to take a look here and consider this chapter and a verse that's here in verse number 20. That's the topic of the chapter and a continuation of the message last Sunday, just taking a look at some additional aspects of our consideration. Here, the Lord Jesus Christ brings a parable about a rich man whose ground brought forth plentifully. He's got to find a place to bestow and store up his fruits. He tears down his barns. He builds greater. Not a thing wrong with any of that. Not a thing wrong. If that's the normal course of the operation of the business that a man has or his farm work and that, not a problem with that at all. Here comes the problem in verse number 19. Luke chapter 12, verse number 19. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods. His trust is in the wrong thing. Not in the Lord, but in something. Thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. There's the second problem. He's living life for himself and not for the Lord. Those are the two problems. God in verse number 20 says, but God said unto him, the Lord Jesus Christ telling this parable, thou fool, an aspect of your life, and I believe it's representative of the situation of the man's soul. And again, this is a parable. It's not something that's happened. The Lord's not giving an instance that did happen, but he is giving a parable. But he says, thou fool, in these things you have been godless. And Psalms 14, Psalms 53, the scripture says, the fool has said in his heart, no God. He has been godless in this. Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. And what we want to keep our attention to and think about and consider in this, then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? Then whose shall those things be? Who's going to get the stuff? Well, the next one in line. The next one in line, the one that would inherit those things, they will get them, but one day they'll die too. And so on and so on and so on it goes. It's a proving of the fact that we are just passing through this life. The stuff of life does not really belong to us. We're just borrowing it. And may the Lord help us that we live our lives in a way that the Lord says that we should order it rather than ourselves. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the day. We thank you, Father, for your blessing and privilege, Lord, that you've given us to be able to assemble ourselves together to worship you. Help us, Father, to lay aside the things of life, the cares of life, those things that beset our hearts and minds so easily. Lord, we might lay those things aside that we might worship you. Lord, help us so we might understand what you're speaking to us and saying to us in your word, Father, that as your children, we might be conformed more to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we might be more like him. Help us in that. And Lord, for those that are here this morning and not saved, we know there's those amongst us, Father, by their own testimony. They say that they are not saved, that they are without Jesus Christ as Savior. We pray, Father, you might speak to them. Speak to them, Lord, about the reality of eternity, about the need of their soul, and Lord, about the great salvation that is available through the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, that's there, that's in him. Lord, that you might work in them, and Lord, they might see their need. They might come to you in repentance and faith, Father, as you command. And Lord, that you would work and save them. Help now, we pray and bless. We ask it all in the Lord Jesus Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. Here in this chapter, there's a great multitude, an innumerable multitude that's gathered together there in verse number 1. And the Lord speaks to those that are there in the multitude. And if you recall about the multitude, you always have those that are there because they're curious, those that are there because they're following along with the Lord, and they've been curious longer than others that might be added and coming to the multitude. There's always the disciples. No doubt there may be those of the Jews that might enjoin in that multitude. Maybe there would be some there of the government that would be concerned about such a great multitude gathering together. And the Lord speaks to his disciples early in the chapter, and he talks to them about hypocrisy. Watch out about what you do in secret, because it's going to be heralded from the housetops. He talks to them about fear. Don't fear one that can just kill your body. But have a reverential fear as disciples, as the children of God. Have a reverential fear for your heavenly Father. He is able, God is able to cast a soul into hell. And of course, Jesus Christ is the manifestation of that in the Trinity. He also goes and speaks to them about taking a stand for the Lord Jesus Christ in verses number 8 and 9, about confessing the Lord Jesus Christ before men. And that if we, as his children, we confess him before men, then he'll confess us before the angels. He'll claim us before the angels. If we deny him, then we'll be denied by him before God. And so a great warning that is there about our witness and testimony of the Lord. Then he speaks about blasphemy of the Holy Spirit and about how it is essential, how it's so diabolical to take the word of God, the work of God, and attribute it to Satan. Don't be doing that. There's no forgiveness for that. And the thing is, you won't trip up, and you won't trip up into that. It's a diabolical thing when that is done. As those that were there in the previous chapter, they claimed that Jesus cast out demons by the power of Satan when it was the power and hand of God. He speaks in verses 11 and 12 about utterance being given at the time that it's needed for the children of God. The Holy Spirit will teach what's needed to be said in a day of adversity, in a day that his children need to stand for the Lord. He speaks about covetousness here. When the man comes to him and says, "I have my brother divide the inheritance." Evidently, he was on the outside of that. The brother got it. And the Lord says, wait a minute, don't be covetous. He says in verse number 15, a very key scripture in this passage, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not of the abundance of the things which he possesseth." And our nation, our world operates that way. You are who you are by what you got, not before the Lord. And it shouldn't be that way amongst us. It should not be. We should despise no soul because they are poor and without. We should despise no person because they have much and have great, because every soul is just that, a soul before the Lord. That's not what life is all about. It's not the way that it is before God. He speaks this parable, as we've reiterated, and then the Lord says here in verse number 20 about the God's requirement of this man, "Thou fool! You've had your trust in the things that you've stored up. You have your focus of life upon what's good and nice and easy for you in that. You've been a fool. You've been godless in your pursuits of your life." He says, "Tonight, your soul's coming back to the one who gave it, and I'm going to deal with that." And nothing more is said there. Verse number 22, "And he," that is the Lord Jesus Christ, "said unto his disciples, therefore, because of those things that I've told you, because of the parable, because of these other things that I've warned you about, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body more than raiment." Life is more about just having that next meal. Now, we all know, you and I know, that we do need to eat or we won't live. But may God help us. And what the Lord is telling us here, I believe, and what the scripture's bearing out, is that we don't need to be all in a lather and a fret about what we're going to eat, what we're going to store up. Because remember, things are in the hands of God. Life is more than meat, what you're going to eat. The body is more than how you adorn yourself with it and the way you look. I think when we come to the services of the Lord, we ought to come nice. We ought to come neat. We ought to come presentable. Sometimes I went to services on Wednesday night, I had to go in my work clothes. And sometimes I was pretty foul and was separated from my brethren because of my foulness, because it had been a long, hot day. But better to come to the house of God than to not, because something's not right with the clothes. Now cover yourself up. The Lord doesn't like nakedness. It shouldn't be. But go ahead and come and be there in the services. But don't make it to where your life can't be. You can't be before people unless everything's just so. Because the focus is on the wrong thing. The focus is on the wrong thing. Life is more than raiment. Life is more than meat, the body more than raiment. Consider the ravens, he says. They neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much How much more are ye better than the fowls? He goes on to say here, and which of you, taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? Who of us can add a foot and a half to our height? Man, I'd be high water, wouldn't I, if I added a foot and a half? The Lord say, he puts that on the line. He says, how many of you can add a foot and a half to your height? I can't. Can you? Because that's what he says. He says here, he says, consider the ravens. They're not busy about things, and God takes care of them. Okay? We're of more value, but we're better, we're esteemed in a more dear way before the Lord than the fowls, and the Lord takes care of the fowls. We're much better than they. That's what he's saying. So which of you can take by taking thought can add to his stature one cubit? Listen to what he says, verse 26. If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least. Now, I'm thinking adding a foot and a half to my height is pretty big. Don't you? I mean, that would be a great feat if I could just now and be a foot and a half taller. The Lord says that's little. That's nothing. You know what? I think what the Lord's indicating is that if he wanted to, he could have done that to himself just right then. If he wanted to. He said, if you're not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? If you can't add a foot and a half to your stature, if you will, without any irreverence to the Lord, but with the Lord saying, everybody on my side can, everybody in my house, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, everybody in my house can add a foot and a half to the stature just like that. But you can't. What take thought for the rest? What take ye thought for the rest? If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, adding a foot and a half to your height, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies along with the ravens. Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not. They don't work and work and work. They spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. And Solomon was arrayed very well. If then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? What the Lord's getting down to here is he's getting down to the issue. Does the Lord want all of us to go home? Of course, we have some here that work at school. We have some here that work at their jobs, that work at home. We have those that are retired and have other things that they do but don't necessarily go and work a job. Does the Lord just want us to go home and just sit plop down and do nothing? Yeah, we got to take the scriptures and reconcile them. Okay, if we just take this like this, and the Lord's saying, he's meaning what he's saying and saying what he's meaning. He's taking all this about the things of life. Would you call clothing essential? It's going to get cold without clothes, right? Yeah, it's essential. And that's the reason he goes to the, would you call food essential? Yeah, go about 5 days, 6 days, 7 days, you're going to have trouble without food. So, but he takes it to these essential things, and he says, don't fret, don't worry, don't stir about them. If God's taking care of just the things of those creatures and those things that he has made of the field, if he's taking care of that, can he not take care of you, O ye of little faith? What the Lord's, he's telling us, he's not telling us to quit working, is he? No, by no means. You know some passages that are in the scripture. Let's take a look at 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5. Let's take a look here and see what the scripture says. 1 Timothy chapter 5. Here he begins this chapter. This chapter begins by our attitude towards one another in the church. Talking about widows and talking about those that should support those that are widows in their household. And it says here in verse number 8, he says, but if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Let not a widow be taken into a number, and so on. I've known those that have claimed to be widows in churches and would make a claim that the church support them more than they did, than that church did. But the thing is they didn't meet the qualifications of a widow to be taken on and be supported by the church. Okay? They didn't. I don't mean that hard to them, but that's just the way that it is. But if it would be that Olmsted Baptist Church had such a woman, according in our midst, that matched those qualifications, and there was none other to take care of her and her physical needs, we should well do so. It's a charge from God. But if there's family, the family should take care of it. And that's just the way that it is. And so what that's talking about here, and what's being mentioned here, and what's being said is that point that in regards to widows, if any man provide not for his own, especially of those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel, an unbeliever. But you know, that's the case otherwise too. We're to work to support our families. I am to work to support my family. That's the way that it is. It's ordained of God. It's an essential thing. It's a thing that goes on day after day after day after day. And of course, in the situation here, the Lord has led the church to provide for me and my family, and the work that I do now is not a vocation work that I did like I did before and working for others and working on equipment and such as that, but a work in the ministry. And so far, the church has been pleased in the leadership of the Lord, I trust, in supporting me and my family, and I work and labor in those things here in the ministry. But my family is my responsibility. Adam's family was his responsibility. Men, your families are your responsibility. It's that way. Because the thing is if I don't provide of those of my household, if I have an aunt that becomes a widow, and there's no one else to take care of her, I'm to take care of her, being her nephew. You know what the scripture says, that I'm to requite, I'm to pay back my parents for what they did for me in taking care of her, so a church wouldn't be charged with it. Well, the same thing can be said for my wife and my children. And so this comes to us here. This is not saying for us to quit working, is it? No. But when we take over here and looking at Luke chapter 12, and are we saying here, is the Lord saying here that we should quit working? No. He's not. Let's take a look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. We've got to reconcile the scriptures. It all needs to fit together, and that we understand where the Lord is coming from and how we should obey the Lord in it. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, the apostle writing to this church at Thessalonica, it says in verse number 9, let's back up to verse number 7. For yourselves know how ye ought to follow us, for we have not behaved ourselves disorderly among you. Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail, night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you. Not because we have not power, as an apostle, he's saying, but to make ourselves an example unto you to follow us. He said, I could have been supported by the ministry there, and it would have been right and ordained of God, and would have been right. But rather, I took the position amongst you that I went ahead and worked too. Okay? That you not be charged with that. Verse 11. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. So they're not working, and they're working mischief. Now them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. But ye brethren, be not weary in well-doing. So here the apostle is telling this church, there's those amongst you that are busy stirring up strife and they're not working. They're not being involved in work. They're not being involved in that which God Almighty ordained. Where was work ordained? In the garden before sin. Yeah. And so he says, if they don't work, they shouldn't eat. But then we have that over in Luke chapter 12 that the Lord said, don't worry about your food. Don't worry about your clothing. So is that a contradiction? No, it's not going to be a contradiction. We can find what it is that the Lord is telling us in it. Look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we pick it up in verse number 9. But as touching brotherly love, 1 Thessalonians 4:9, but as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, Church of Thessalonica. For ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed, ye do it toward all the brethren which are in Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more. It said, you know about brotherly love. You know how to care one for another. You don't need me to tell you any more about that. I just tell you, keep on growing in it. Keep on doing it. That ye may, and that ye study, verse number 11, to be quiet. To be not a busybody, to not be one stirring trouble, but to stand in the Word of God and to take the place, take the lot that the Lord has for you there in the church, and to do your own business and to work with your own hands. Now the apostles charging those at Thessalonica, a Gentile church, get out there and work. Get out there and work with your own hands. And as we commend you, that ye walk honestly toward all them that are without, that you may have lack of nothing. Walk in honesty. And then he goes on to tell about the resurrection, the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So just a few scriptures here and a reference to there in the garden about work. The apostle tells those in the church that they should work. A man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat. A man that we need to provide for those of our own household. If I don't provide for my own household, whether it's my aunt that's a widow and destitute, or it's my wife or my children, I've denied the faith. And worse than an infidel, worse than an unbeliever. But then Jesus says, back in Luke 12, don't sweat it about your clothes. Don't sweat it about what you eat. Do we have a contradiction? Well, let's look. Back in Luke chapter 12, the Lord is taking these essential things. He's spoken about hypocrisy. He's spoken about our right placement of fear. He's talking about being a witness of Him, confessing Him before men. He's talked about blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. He's talked about being taught by the Holy Ghost about what to say in a time of trial, in a time of standing for the Lord. He's talked about your life doesn't consist about by what you own. He gives the parable about the man that does all this growing and storing and barn building and all that. He tells about the misplacement of his trust and his stuff, living his life for himself. He tells to consider about the ravens and how God takes care of them. He tells about considering the lilies and how He takes care of them and how they're arrayed. And he speaks here, he says, if you can't add a foot and a half to your height, what are you worried about? What can you do? Right? And he brings it down here, brothers and sisters. He brings it down here to verse number 28. He says, if God's then so clothed the grass, which is today and in the field, and tomorrow is cast in the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. That's what he's talking about. We should take and apply every energy and every ability, every gift that God gives us in its right place, in its right way, and pray that God Almighty will bless it. But don't fret about it. Don't be consumed by it. Yes, the Lord has told us to work. Work! The Lord in the parable, he didn't chide the farmer for sowing, did he? Did he chide the farmer for reaping? Did he chide the farmer for building the barns? No. He rebuked the man because his faith was in what he'd done of his own hand. Because he was living his life for himself. We are to work. We're to take the blessing and benefit of God and take it and use it as best as we can. But you know what? In the midst of it all, in the midst of our work, in the midst of our consideration about what to do, in the midst of our using that which the Lord blesses us with, and all of that, we're to be seeking God's face and how we're to do it. But that we're to be seeking God's face, and he'll go on and tell us more about it. He says, "Oh, ye of little faith, he'll clothe you. Seek not what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink. Don't be of doubtful mind." Verse 30, "For all these things do the nations of the world seek after." That's the way it is amongst mankind. They're in a froth about it. I like having the pantry full. Don't you? Yeah, it's comforting. You know what? Every box and every can could be sitting over there rotted if it's not for the blessing of God. "Oh, Brother Jim, what are you talking about?" That's right. Clarissa does the best she can for our family. But everything over there in the cabinet could be ate up and us not know it. Who's going to bless? Don't you remember in the Old Testament scriptures about the Lord talking about his blessing and how the Lord says that he'll bless? Speaking to the Israelites, I think speaking to us, he'll bless our store. Yeah, he'll keep the bugs out of your wheat. Yeah, if we seek him. And we might have bad wheat. Don't bring me your wheat that has got bugs in it, okay? But you understand what I'm saying? We need to seek the Lord's blessing and help in things, because he can do things for us. If he can take those clothes on the Israelites and make their shoes or make their clothes last for 40 years, can he help us? We need to honor him in all things. The scripture says, "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." Lord, that's the reason we pray before we eat. You do, don't you? Do you? I don't know. Do you? I pray you do. "Thank you, Father, for this food. Without you, I wouldn't have had sense enough to go out and work for it." Amen. And so he says, don't be doubtful. Don't be concerned about the next meal. Don't be concerned about what you've got to put on. How many of us, we've got more clothes than we can wear out? I remember as a kid, the whole event of buying the school clothes. And then it was just understood that those school clothes are going to last all year. However many pair of pants, 2-3 pair of pants, so many shirts, and that's going to last all year. And then by the time it got to summer, yeah, they were high water, and I had patches all over my knees. You know, we got it so good from the standpoint of stuff. Are you trusting in your stuff? May God help me. I don't need to be trusting in my stuff. I don't need to be trusting in the bank account. I don't need to be trusting in the 401k. I don't need to be trusting in that. We need to be wise. We need to be good stewards. Hang on to that stuff loose. It can go away in a heartbeat. It can go away in a heartbeat. Or the Lord can call us in at any time. He says, the nations of the world seek after these things, and Lord knows, God knows that we need them. Verse number 31, "But rather seek ye the kingdom of God." And all these things, the stuff that you need of life, seek what God wants in his kingdom. Seek that kingdom. Be looking for that kingdom. As we talked last night at the cottage prayer meeting, seek to be a good witness of the Lord Jesus Christ and his salvation. Seek adding to that kingdom. Be ye fishers of men. Work that our family members be admitted an entrance into that kingdom. Our neighbors, our co-workers, to tell them about Christ and seek that kingdom and see the end of that kingdom and desire the end of that kingdom. I was thinking this week, I'm so ready for Jesus to rule and reign as king in Jerusalem. Aren't you? I am. I'm ready for Jesus to rule and reign. We were talking last night. We got off on politics a little bit, didn't we? That's all right. As long as we do it with a good attitude. But won't it be good when Jesus is in control and it's just all done? Yeah, when that policy comes out of Jerusalem in that day, it'll be just right policy. It won't be policy. Boy, what are they thinking up there? We won't be doing that anymore, will we? The policy will be perfect. It'll be perfect, won't it? It'll be blessing. It said, seek ye first. Rather, seek ye the kingdom of God. Or as it says over in Matthew, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Listen to this. You want stuff? You're looking for stuff? You know, everything about this place rots. You know what? It's good. It's good for a short time, but then it rots. It all rots. Or the mice get in it, and they mess it up. They defile it, or something else, bugs, moths, whatever. Fear not, little flock. What did he say here? O ye of little faith, doubtful mind. Fear not, little flock. What's he say? You're worried about stuff? Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. We don't really understand what that means. It's like God opening up the world and saying, there you go, it's yours. It's yours. And of course, in that changed body, in that body like Christ, we'll have no other desire than to please God. We're not going to be about taking things and consuming it upon our own lust. But the Lord, because he's not going to die, he's just going to give out the inheritance in advance. Fear not, little flock. Don't worry about the stuff. God's going to give you all that righteous and good and eternal and sinless stuff. Can you imagine a place? Can you imagine Olmsted Road, State Route 775 being paved with gold? That's the way it's going to be there. Walking on gold. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. A prayer that is a great prayer, meaning it from the heart. I'm not just telling you to repeat words, but Father, help me to use, help my family, help us to use what you've blessed us with for the furtherance of your kingdom. You ever think about praying like that? Help us to use everything that you've given us for the furtherance of your kingdom. Would that be a wrong prayer? No. That is, we as the children, ambassadors of the Lord, joint heirs with Christ. That's the way our thinking is to be. That's the way we're to be thinking. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Look over here in Revelation chapter 21. Here, in the Lord speaking about the overcomers, listen to what it says here. Revelation 21, verse number 7. You remember in the chapters 2 and chapters 3 of the book of Revelation, the Lord speaks to John a message, giving them a message, giving them a letter to the seven churches that are in Asia Minor. And in every case, he speaks about those in those churches that overcome by being faithful to the Lord, by being obedient to the Lord, in spite of the wickedness and sin that exists in those churches. They're not perfect. They got sinners in them, saved sinners. Maybe there's some false professors in there. And there's wickedness and sin that's there in the churches. But the Lord always gives that final note to the overcomers. And listen here what he says. And he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and the unbelieving, they've got a different destination. But inherit all things and be the Son of God. Oh, what a great, great thing. Back in Luke 12, in verse 31, but rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that you have and give alms. Give to the poor. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens. Isn't that what he said about the man in verse 21, that he was not rich toward God? He had gathered stuff for himself, but he'd not given a thought about the kingdom of God. He'd not given a thought about the service of God. We're not talking about just giving you tithe and keeping the rest to use it the way you want, but using the whole lot of it for the Lord. Using the whole lot of it. Well, Brother Jim, we got to buy food. Yes, honor the Lord in that. Thank the Lord in that. Be of a mind and of a heart that it's all God's, because remember, we're dying. Anything I store up that's there at the time of my death, it'll go on to my wife or to my kids. I don't keep it. I just use it while I'm here. We just use it while we're here. Sell that you have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. Listen, here's another key point: for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You got to check that bank account every day. And I still understand in this day and age you need to check that bank account for the sake of fraud. Okay, I understand that. But worried about that? thinking about that all the time? Think about how much is in the account when you get up in the morning. Thinking about how much is in the account when you go to bed at night. Thinking about the account, what's going on. Thinking about it, occupying, absorbed, possessed by it, consumed by it, if you will. He says here in verse 35, let your loins be girded about. You know what that's talking about? Ready to work and ready to go. Ready to go on that trip. When the Lord Jesus Christ, when that trumpet blows, is our attitude going to be, wait a minute, Lord, I got a little bit more to do? No. We're going. Be ready to go. Be ready to go, looking for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our treasure would be there in heaven. That our desire would be for the ministry and work of the Lord. That yes, in your job, you can be a minister and work for the Lord, to be a witness to those that are there. To understand that that's what's going to last. But the place where you work and all the equipment that's there and everything that's purposed to be done, you should help that company that you work for to do the best they can. But understand, it's all going away someday. That farm is going to burn up one day. That place where you work is going to burn up one day. But those people that you're a witness to, the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ to them, the witness and being faithful. Was not Joseph faithful in Egypt? Was not Daniel and the three Hebrew children, were they not faithful in the things that they were given charge of? But did they let those things come before their service and worship of the Lord? They did it as unto the Lord. As unto the Lord. But they did not let that come in the way of their relationship, the purpose of their life, and bring an honor and glory and honoring their great God and King. They put it in its right place. Let your loins be girded about and your lights burning. Be a witness. And ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord, when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. See how the Lord has taken this thing from stuff to looking for the return of the Lord? Having our loins girt about and our lights burning, waiting for the Lord, serving the Lord, and being ready to go when he comes at an instant. See, where's our hearts at? Where's our treasure at? Are we consumed about the things of the world and that's all that matters and that's all we're trying to grapple after and get a hold of? Are we concerned about the Lord and his coming and working in the meantime as unto him to use what he blesses us with in the service and the work of his kingdom, the furtherances of his kingdom, but our hearts set, will today be the day that the Lord comes back? Listen, brothers and sisters, I'm not preaching to you as the example. I'm preaching to you that I need it too. I need it too. I'm preaching to me too, okay? But that's what he goes to, isn't it? Those servants, verse 37, blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat and will come forth and serve them. That's something, isn't it? And if he shall come in the second watch, a little bit later at night, or come in the third watch, even later, going into the morning possibly, and find them so, blessed are those servants. And this know, he says, know this, that if the goodman of the house had known what hour the thief would come, well, that's a kind of a change in the dialogue, isn't it? He's talking about the Lord coming and the faithful servants looking for the Lord. Now he's talking about a thief. What? Listen to what he says. And this know, that if the goodman of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and had not suffered his house to be broken through. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when you think not. What he's saying is, if you knew the thief was coming to bust into your place, you'd be ready there and armed to blow him back out the window. Well, maybe that's kind of tough, right? But you'd be ready for him so he won't haul off your stuff and tear up your stuff, right? Yeah. Hey, the Lord's telling him, you're concerned about your stuff. The governor of the house, if he knew when the thief would come, he would protect his stuff. Said the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back just like that. Don't know the hour. Don't know the moment. So he says, be ready. Be ready. As he said to the man there in verse number 20, but God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? Well, the answer is they'll go on to the next sinner. They'll go on to the next person for them to deal with. He said, but as for you, you children, you servants and children of God, sons of God, seek the kingdom of God. Don't worry about the stuff. God will give you the stuff that you need. God will give you those things that you need in his service. God knows you have need for your body. He knows you need provision for your body. He takes care of things out here that you go out here and mow the grass, it's dead, it's gone. And he takes care of that. You are of greater value than the grass, of greater value than the ravens, of greater value than the lilies. Don't be of a doubtful mind. Don't be faithless. But trust and rest in the Lord. Trust in him. And go ahead and be about his business. Be about the pursuit of the kingdom, even physically when it doesn't make sense. Well, it'll cost me to take a stand about not taking a job working on the Lord's day. But the Lord can intervene, can't he? It'll cost me to go ahead and put my tithes and offerings and support of the ministry, the work of the church. We just can't make it. Listen, I submit to you, you won't make it, not do it. The work of the Lord's church here, it's not to be supported by those on the outside. The Lord expects it to be supported here by we that the Lord's put in it. Yeah, that's the design. So I can't afford to do it. You can't afford not to do it. I can't afford to honor the Lord in this or honor the Lord in that. Listen, if you're in business, you better honor the Lord in everything. In everything. Everything, every line item in your accounting. Every line item on your accounting. Lord, is this pleasing to you? Lord, is this pleasing to you? Lord, is this pleasing to you? If it's not pleasing to him, then get rid of it. Get rid of it. Don't get rid of it. If the Lord's not being honored and acknowledged in everything, I need to take those things that he's not, which he's not, and put them out of my life. I need to look to him, honor him, serve him. Take the stuff and put the stuff in the pursuit of the stuff, put that in its right place, but put the Lord Jesus Christ first. You that are here this morning and you're not saved, you desperately need to be able to see the kingdom of God. You desperately do. You are a subject of the kingdom, but you don't see the kingdom. You desperately need to be able to enter into the kingdom of God. But you know what? There's no admittance other than by the one who is the door, the way, the truth, and the life, the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to repent of your sins and admit to God that you're a guilty, wicked sinner before him, deserving of death and hell. And you need to trust and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the way. He is the door. Trust in him, repent, and believe in him.